When I was an army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're listening. And there was a long discussion before I started recording about Ascension Day being one of the major feasts of the calendar of the Episcopal Church and Catholic Church. And yet, because it falls on a Thursday, there's like, it just like never really gets celebrated in most churches, except for maybe an evening service that some people know about. It's been my experience. Obviously, there are major celebrations of Ascension Day, including the Amish that I discovered when I was on my way home from the Shady Maple Smorgasbord in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, when I was a young person. Anyway, I am glad you're here. God bless you. And I'm wishing you a happy Ascension Day. May you rise with Jesus. 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present age. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And a reading from the book of Acts. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerning everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to him. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the ways that I know where heaven is, well, at least I know how far away it is from this text. Light speed is pretty fast. I think you can go, in 5 days, you can go like way outside the solar system at light speed. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're traveling at the speed of light for 5 days. In any direction from Earth, you're going to go pretty far. And Jesus ascends into heaven, and then the Holy Spirit comes 5 days later, 10 days later. So 5 days for Jesus to get to heaven, at the speed of light, I'm just guessing, and then another 5 days for the Holy Spirit to get back to Earth. So that tells you exactly where heaven is. I don't know which direction in the solar system. That's just my speculation. Don't believe that. But this very physical miracle of departure is evocative of so many other departures, whether it's Elijah, that's the text we read last night, Elijah's departure in the chariot, and Elijah gives his mantle to his understudy, Elisha, who now takes up that mantle and does the work of the prophet of God in his time and place after Elijah leaves. And Jesus has a very similar departure to Elijah. Not with chariots of fire, the armies of Israel, but with a little discussion about Israel, like what's going to happen. Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel, the disciples say? And Jesus is like, that's going to happen eventually. Don't worry about it. But what's happening today is that you will be my witnesses. You are now taking up the mantle. And yet there is this profound absence on the earth of Jesus's body, of Jesus's presence. When a loved one goes away on a trip, we console ourselves with the fact that they're coming back. And we kind of know that. When someone leaves for work in the morning that we love, or goes to school or wherever they're going, we know they're going to come back, so we don't get too upset. But if we are to think that they are going to a war or going to somewhere they might not come back from, or to some other risky thing, or just an absence that we can't explain, there is a profound loss and sadness when they go right out of sight. Maybe the first time we experience this is as a child when we're given a balloon in the grocery store and we carry it outside and we kind of like are trying to tie it on our wrist and it slips and it goes up. And you know there's that moment where you could have grabbed it, but now it's too late, and it goes up into the sky. And you can watch it for a really long time and get sadder and sadder and sadder. And that's exactly what the disciples do. They're staring up into heaven, just dumbfounded at his departure. I don't think they fully understood what was about to happen. With Jesus, we never do. We never understand fully what Jesus is about to do in our lives or in anybody else's. We are always shocked by that and always astounded and surprised, standing with our mouths agape, looking up into heaven. And then these two men show up. I guess they're angels, you know. They're just there. Why are you standing up looking into heaven, you bunch of Galileans? I don't know if that was an insult. They're not in Galilee. These angels or men or whoever they are tell him, you know, what are you doing? Jesus said he was going up to heaven and he's going to come back the same way. And here we see this word from God of reassurance, that the thing that gets us through the absences of Jesus in our lives is that he's coming back. At the end of our creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That Jesus is returning is the message of the ascension, ultimately. That is the hope that we have. It is not that he just disappeared on us. It is that he has gone to do the work for us far away and has sent the Holy Spirit to continue his work here. And that is a heavy mantle to pick up. And the apostles pick it up. And they do exactly what Jesus told them to do. Make disciples and baptize them. And he didn't really say to do much else. That was what he told him to do. Do what he had been doing here on this earth. To share the good news of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That the world has changed because of him. That all of our sin and shame and failure and regret is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. And that is the message of good news that we bring to the world. And it's just us. It was a terrible idea to leave the fledgling church to real people. If I had been a strategist, I mean, why couldn't these two guys in the white robes take over the church and take over for Jesus? Hey, everyone, Jesus is gone. We've got these two guys in white robes. They're going to run everything from now on. They're angels, so they know what they're doing. But Jesus didn't do that. He left it to us. With all our fumbling, bumbling ways, with all of our misguided attempts to follow Jesus and love our neighbor as ourselves and love God with all our heart, that's who he left the church to you and me. And that was enough. You and I are adequate for this. Jesus believes in us. He sent the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we follow that Spirit. It also says that at some point, the whole Christian church are just a bunch of guys staring up into the sky, a bunch of Galileans looking up. How could this movement ever go to the ends of the earth as Jesus had prophesied? And yet they did through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are here today because of them. Amen. Collect for Ascension Day. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so we may also in heart and mind there ascend, and with him continually dwell, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.